Let's begin at the beginning. Ever since I joined the public conversation as a conservative writer, I've been called a fascist and a Nazi by smug, liberal know-nothings, sublimely confident of the truth of their ill-informed prejudices. Responding to the slander is, as a point of personal privilege alone, a worthwhile endeavor. More important, as a conservative, I actually believe that conservative policies will be better for America. From school choice to free markets to advancing democracy around the world, I believe that conservatives are, for the most part, correct. When conservative proposals are rebuffed with insinuations of fascist motives, it not only cheapens public discourse, but also helps beat back much-needed reforms, and it does so not through argument, but through intimidation. Surely it is no small matter that our public discourse is corrupted in this way, and I have written this book largely to set the record straight and to educate myself and others about the real meaning and nature of fascism. As to whether I am overstating the problem, I have repeatedly made it clear that modern liberals are not cartoonish Nazi villains. These people aren't stormtroopers or commissars. They're campus student life directors and diversity managers, child psychologists and anti-smoking crusaders. The danger they pose isn't existential or Orwellian, save perhaps in the sense that they might inure Americans to social control from above. The real threat is that the promise of American life will be frittered away for a bag of magic beans called security. No, I don't mean that as an indictment of the Bush administration or the war on terror. There's a difference between literal security, defending the public against external or illegal violence, and the figurative, quasi-religious security promised by the Third Way. Many progressives seem to think we can transform America into a vast college campus where food, shelter, and recreation are all provided for us, and the only crime is to be mean to somebody else, particularly a minority. So of course you will find me guilty of overstatement if you take me to be claiming that liberalism is a Trojan horse for Nazism. And while I have no doubt some hostile critics will assert I am making that case, I am not. But they will have to say so, because to do otherwise is to concede that Hillary Clinton's brave new village is bad enough. Of course, you can live a happy life in a medicalized, psychologized society where the state is your mommy. But only if you've been conditioned to find joy in such a society. And that is the aim of many liberal institutions, to rewrite the habits of our hearts. But of course, while I would view it as tragic to lose the America of individualism and freedom, I can certainly imagine worse horrors. Living in some vast North American Belgium, after all, surely has its pleasures. I did not set out to write a modern version of The Road to Serfdom, would that I could, nor do I have any desire to be a right-wing Joe Connison, obsessively pecking away at the keyboard in an attempt to translate every partisan objection into some frightening omen of lost liberties.